Okay, we'll figure out and get started. We'll be starting, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians 14. We may move around a little bit. I'm not sure right now, but we may end up, well, I know we'll move around. It's just that as y'all lead us, we'll see where we're going to go. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, put prayer up right into this. Yahweh, we bless you. We glorify you again. We present ourselves to you in another training school. We seek your wisdom and your revelation that you reveal to us by the Spirit. And we thank you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I think we may stay. We'll move around, but we'll stay along. We'll stay in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 says, furthermore, then, that's why I was kind of hesitant about starting right here, because, you know, chapter 1, 2, and 3, especially when you see furthermore, so it lets you know it's continuing on with some things. But, he says in verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Jehovah, Yehoshua, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk as to please Yah, so ye would abound more and more. Now, when you look at this here and what's been discussed, we'll start to deal with some things in more detail, but I just kind of want to sit this up here. You have to take into consideration that during this time they don't have the material that we have. What I mean by the material, I'm talking about the scriptures. So I'll just say it per se, okay? They don't have the scriptures, so when we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we have to take that in consideration, and from us taking that in consideration, then it will cause us not to come to our own conclusions about what's going on here as Paul is dealing with the church. So I'm going to kind of start laying some foundations by just asking some questions in this class. We'll see how much information that we're able to give out in order for us to understand what God wants us to see tonight. Now, first of all, what comes to mind when you think of the Church of Thessalonians? Who are these people? Are they Jews? Who are they? Okay, so the first thing we come to the understanding of is that Paul says that he's an apostle to the Gentiles by the will of God. And so we see that this here is referring to the Gentiles. And so with that in mind, we keep that thought, and as we move through the next few verses, there are some things that we'll start to understand more clearly, because we've discussed these things before, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 makes it clear that this is something that is relevant. It was something that was relevant during this time frame, and it's that way to this day. Okay, verse 1 again. But furthermore, then we seek you, brethren, so Gentile brethren, and exhort you by Yehoshua, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and to please Yah. so he would abound more and more. So he's saying to the, I'm going to just say just the Gentile church, okay? Just for lack of a better way to put it right now. So he's saying to the Gentile church, okay, you received from us how you ought to walk and to please Yah, so he would abound more and more. Then he says in verse 2, for ye know what commandments we gave you by Jehovah, Yahushua. Okay, now, as you see this here, the next thing that we need to understand here is that they're being, Paul is referring to them and some things that have been laid out to them on how they should walk and please Yah, so that they could abound. When you look at the word abound, you know, because nowadays you have, anytime you hear anything that has to do with some form of increase, church think, y'all add money to it. So when he says abound, he says increase. It also starts by saying to super abound, be in excess, be super good. All these words to excel, all these different words, it also says remain. So when you look at this, it is from a perspective of letting us know, not from the carnal perspective by which the so-called church has taken on. Anytime you hear the word abound, or anytime you hear increase, anytime you hear any of those type of words, the first thing they'll do is associated with some type of material possession, whether that's money or whether that's some type of, you know, house, car, it always has to do with something materially, because the mindset of the church now is you're not abounding unless something happened to you from a carnal perspective. But what we have learned is anytime we look in the scripture, the first thought we should have is kingdom first. Seek ye first, Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of Yah, and all these things shall be added unto you. It is a law by which we understand that if our focal point is always on seeking the kingdom of Yah first, then you add all things. Well, since this is abounding more and more, then we have to take it that it is the seeking the kingdom of Yah first. So when I see the word abound, the first thought that will come in my mind is, oh, all the things, nice things that I can get because I follow Christ. Okay? So this abounding that I'm talking about has to do from a perspective of, again, the kingdom and seeking Yah first and his righteousness. So, again, in verse 1, he says, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Yahushua, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please Yah, so ye would abound more and more. So it lets me know that by abounding more and more is from a perspective of increasing and growing, you know, from walking in the ways of Yah and pleasing to Him, how we ought to walk and please Him. Now, verse 2 is a real interesting verse. Verse 2 is a real interesting verse because it says, but ye know what commandments we gave you by Yahushua. Now, when we look at this, what is the first thing that should come to mind when we look at verse 2?
Acts.
First thing that comes to mind when we look at verse 2 is, okay, where is it? What is it that, what commandment was given to the Gentiles in Acts?
They couldn't eat anything off of the idols.
Here, get this up. You'd be hurt.
They couldn't eat anything off of the idols. Anything strangled.
From the blood. Abstain from the blood.
Okay.
Abstain from fornication.
Okay.
Okay, that's the four. Now we'll go to Acts chapter 15 and just look at these. So when he's saying this commandment, this is what he's referring to. Okay? And so, again, as we look at Acts 15, we've dealt with this before, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of detail on it. We'll start at verse 20. You know, this meeting, is taking place in concerning the Gentiles. So when you look at 1 Thessalonians, this is referring to Acts 15. Because this is the commandment that was offered. So what I'm pulling out in this lesson is that when you get them to say that the law has been done away with, it points out clearly that's not the case. Because here you have the Gentile church that is being required to walk in these laws, these commandments. And it said, if you do this here, you will abound more and more. Okay? Now, not spend a whole lot of time here because we've dealt with it a lot. Acts 15, verse 20 says, but that we write unto you that they as the Gentiles, abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication, and from strangle, and from blood. Verse 21 says this now. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Now, I'm going to ask the question. You don't have to necessarily answer it, but I'm asking the question to get you focused on things so that you can see the truth. Thank you, baby. To get you to focus on things so that you can see the truth. Now, as you see verse 21 here now says, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Okay, now, when we look at this, I'm going to ask you a question now. Do you know of any time frame where Moses specifically was preached? Where Moses specifically was preached? I'm trying to get you to see a certain thing, so I'm asking the question that way. Where is it where Moses is preached? Okay, it is a question that makes you really think. So what we have to understand from this perspective is when it says from what Moses is preached, it's talking about what Moses wrote. So when it says when Moses is preached, so what do we understand? What did Moses write?
The first five books.
Yeah, he wrote the Ten Commandments, but that's a small facet of it. So he wrote the first five books of the Scriptures. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So what he is saying here in verse 21, he says, for Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogue every Sabbath. So he's saying, okay, what is it that we can give the Gentiles as a rule to operate under so that we can all be on the same page? Well, we know Moses preached in all the synagogues on the Sabbath, so when Moses is being preached here, or when Moses has written, being preached here, which also reveals Christ, Moses, you know, we dealt with certain things where Christ is revealed throughout the Scriptures, specifically Isaiah and things like that, when we dealt with in the Sabbath. But as you see this here, he's pointing out that these things are being preached. So when it says him, it says Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Saturday, it's talking about the law. It's talking about the law of Moses. Okay? Then verse 22 says, then please it the apostles and elders, with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch, with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surname Barnabas. Oh, but I actually let me see. Yeah. Barnabas. Okay. Barnabas said, namely Judas, surname Barnabas, namely is Judas, surname Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren sent greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch, in Syria, and Sicilia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. So he said to the Gentile, we didn't give you a commandment to be circumcised and to keep the law of Moses. We didn't give you that commandment. Then it says in verse 25, it seemed good unto us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have, verse 26, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of Yehoshua Mashiach. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, whom shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. So when you see him saying, when you see it being said here that it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us, now you understand why Paul is saying that this commandment is by Christ. What did Christ say about the Holy Ghost? He will come, and yeah, I said go there. Keep Acts 15 because we're coming back. Also keep 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. You can just listen if you don't want to turn there. John, I think it's 16. Maybe 14. I get those down. They all come together. Yeah. I'm trying to see the verse on the store. let me just make sure. Instead of trying to scan it. Okay, now, John 14, verse 26 to confirm this here. John 14, verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, this is the Savior telling us this. It says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So when you look at Acts chapter 15 now, we'll go back there. Because we know that the Holy Ghost, I'll read it again now, John 14, verse 26, says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, as we go back here now and we look at Acts 15, Verse 25 said, seemed good unto us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. No, it was verse 28. That's what I was. It says, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Now, when you look at the word necessary, I want to define it. When you look at the word necessary things, it means those that are a necessity. Basically necessity. These necessary things, these things that are a necessity, okay? Then he says that you abstain from meat offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication. Now, when you look at fornication, it deals with idolatry. Matter of fact, you understand it from looking at, I think it's Leviticus 25. We'll just go there. We'll move around. We'll stay within the subject matter. Leviticus 25. I'll write it down here. I think it's Leviticus 25. No. When you look at Numbers 25 here, Numbers 25, let's give us an understanding of what fornication is, okay? So, I'll start at verse 1. Numbers 25, verse 1 says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom. Now, when you look at the word whoredom here, from the Hebrew, it's zanah. And so when you look at the word whoredom here, it means to commit adultery. It says from the perspective of a female, and then it says fornication. But then it also continues on, and it shows that it is idolatry. Okay? And so and so when you look at it in certain perspective, it will say, when it says whoredom with the daughters, then you know that it's fornication from the perspective of sexual. But when you start seeing whoredom from the perspective of it being compared with God, then you know it's idolatry. That's how you know the difference between the two. Although you see the word whoredom and the word fornication that are interchangeable in a lot of facets, and it has the same technically the same Hebrew word that's connected to whoredom and fornication. Okay, so when you see it here, again, Numbers 25, verse 1, it says, Israel brought a bowl in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifice of their God. So when you see the whoredom, it's from two perspectives. It lets you know one is with the daughters of Moab, so it is a sexual sin associated with it. And then at the same time, when you look at verse 2, it is talking about sacrifices of their God. And so I'm bringing it out for a specific reason now, because when it's from looking at verse 2, verse 1 and 2 of Numbers 25, I'm going to read them again. Then I'm gonna make the comment again, because I want to pound that in so that we go back to Acts 15 and then go all the way back to the beginning of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll have full understanding. Numbers 25, verse 1 and 2. Numbers 25, verse 1 and 2 says, and Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom. So when you see the word whoredom, you know that as we go look at other words, it means fornication. So when you see fornication in other parts of the scriptures, you know this is what it's referring to. So it says, whoredom was the daughters of Moab. So we know that this is a sexual sin, and the reason why we know it is because the scripture tells us a little bit further down. We'll read that part just so that you can understand it's exactly what it is. And then it says, Whoredom was the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto sacrifices of their God. So we're looking at whoredom again. We're looking at a twofold perspective of whoredom, or a twofold perspective of fornication. Because fornication, when you look at most Christians explain it, they always want to attach sexual sins to it, and they don't realize that they just fornicated this past Sunday with the idol worshiping of Esau. So the church is constantly committing fornication. I don't care if they're a Jew or a Gentile. They're constantly committing fornication, but yet they don't look at fornication as idolatry. They look at fornication as I got into bed with homeboy, I got into bed with homegirl, but then they went out and hunted them in, and then all these other things during Easter, and don't realize it's the same whoredom as what the scripture's talking about in Numbers 25. Okay, now, as we look at this to understand that it is dealing with because it says in verse 4 now. Verse 4 says, well, I'm going to read verse 3 just for the sake of the lesson. And Israel joined himself to Baal Peor, and the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Israel. Now, when you look at Baal Peor, Baal Peor is an owl god. It's Baal, okay? Baal Peor. It says Baal of Peor. So this is idol worship. And what was the other one that was connected to Baal that we had looked at a while back? Is Moab? Yeah. Moab, Baal, you know, one of the same. So you look at Baal Peor, our nation had joined themselves because of the daughters of Moab and the influence that was taking place there. They started sleeping with those women because they were beautiful women. They started sleeping with those women, and they started following after God. See, it wasn't that God had a problem with us mingling with other nations just from a perspective of not liking mankind. He had a problem with those other nations because those other nations always led us away from him. Okay? So when he told us to stay away from those other nations, those were the reasons why. Because he was like, they're going to cause you to turn your back on me and go and whoredom, to fornicate, to commit adultery with the other nations. You start worshiping their idols, and you'll forget about me, the Most High God in your life. Now, again, verse 3 now says, and Israel joined himself unto Baal-Peor, and the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Israel. And Jehovah said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before Jehovah against the sun. And the first anger of Jehovah, that the first anger of Jehovah may be turned away from Israel. So Yah started killing the heads of Israel, the leaders of Israel. Kill them and hang them up. Okay? And then verse 5 says, Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his men that were joined unto Baal Peor. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took a javelin in his hand, show you that they were actually having sex, in his hand, and he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both of them through the man of Israel and the woman through her belly, so that the plague was saved from the children of Israel. So when that act was taking place, when he killed that Israelite and that Moabitish woman, that Midianitish woman, then that's when Yah ceased it. And as you read on, Yah explained that, okay, because of this action, then I'm going to refrain away from doing this here. And as you look at verse 9, because of that event, because we had left and started following those other idols, we're looking at 24,000 of our nation's people died from following after that idle and fornicating or from fornicating, period. Because it's sexual sin as well as following after false stuff. So now when you look at that and we go back and we start looking at Acts 15 again, we know that when it says in verse 28 now, Acts 15, verse 28, it says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these necessary things." These things are necessity. These things are supposed to be operating in the church to this day. To who? The Gentiles. Because we as the nation of Israel, you wouldn't tell us not to be circumcised. So I'm just saying from a perspective that we always obey the law, but these are the perspectives of the commandments that was given to the Gentiles. Okay? Now, verse 29 says that ye abstain from meat offered to idols. So, if they offer this meat to idols as sacrifice, y'all did something to me, I got to tell it on myself. So as they gave these meats that had been offered to idols and things like that, did these sacrifices and things like that, then they would turn around and eat these things. Because you have to understand how our nation operated. There was, when they were bringing sacrifices to the Most High, sometimes they would eat some of that stuff that they would bring to the Most High. You would see them, the priest had certain portions of certain things and different things like that, depending on what it was. And so you're seeing them say, okay, well, when it's offered to another god, they don't eat it. And you abstain from meat offered to idols and from blood. We know that what that is, because if you didn't kill an animal properly, the blood would stay within that animal, and it would taint the meat. But then you have to understand that this is also a form of idol worshiping, so they would keep the blood in there. And so you see a lot of these, even today, that you hear about these blood sacrifices, where you see people drinking blood and all these different things, that's idolatry. That's where all that stuff comes from. So when you see these nations, or you hear about these systems and these same ways that they make you drink blood, always understand that if any source has you drinking blood, it is idolatry associated with it. And some kind of false god that they are worshiping and designed for you to worship. Okay? So that's why you say abstain from meat offered to these different things. And you have to understand the mindset of the system. The mindset of the system the system that we live in. The mindset of this system is designed, they are idol worshipers. So when you look at how they prepare, how they do things, it is all based upon their custom. So they're going to do it based upon their custom, because when they lay it out before you, they want it to be displeasing to Yah. We may be doing it in ignorance, and so that's why he's saying, okay, when you know these things have been offered, when you know these things have taken place, he said, then you stay away from it. So he said, that's saying from meat offered to idols and from blood and from saying strangled, that stress to meat, you know, causes the meat to be tamed and stuff like that. Then when you see it here, it says, and from fornication, you know what it's talking about now. When you look at Numbers 25, verse 1 and 2, you know that it's dealing with the fornication that our nation did by sleeping with the Midianite women, and then you also understand that it's associated with idol worship. So from the perspective of bringing a clear picture, what these nations were doing a lot of times is they would have idol worship and have prostitutes at these places, and they would go in these temples and worship those idols and have sex with these women in these temples. So those are all the rituals that you may hear about that the system may have going even to this day and one fast or another. So that's where all these things here are coming from, and we're seeing the root of it. There's nothing new under the sun. The thing that we see now is what you see people do today. Again, he says, and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourself, ye shall do well, for ye will. Okay. Now, as we go back now, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it all makes sense now as we go back to verse 1. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, this is where we started. It says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by Yehoshua, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and to please Yah, so ye would abound more and more. This church is, when I say this church, I'm talking about the church. The church is supposed to operate in what we can read. So you have all these churches now. I'm going to use it, especially since we just came off of Easter. You have all these churches now who are disobeying a direct commandment and then think they're going to abound more and more. And actually think that they are abounding more and more because the places that they're doing it in has big, nice people and big, nice, comfortable pews to sit in, and it looks like it's all prosperous. And so they think it's abounding more and more has to do with this. Well, God has to be here because see how we're abounding materially? But the abounding of the scripture has nothing to do with some type of material possession. It has to do with we abound to from what the scripture is telling us in verse 1, that we walk and that we understand how to walk and how to please Yah. That's the abounding. We abound if we please Yah. We're not abounding because we have nice things. We're not abounding because we have all this material stuff. We're not abounding because, man, you know what? I just got a raise. That's not the abounding that we should focus on when it comes down to the kingdom. Because the kingdom of Yah is not meat and drink. It is not material things. But it's righteousness and peace, all these different things that's associated with the spirit of Yah. That's what the abounding is. That's what the growth is all about. But because people don't understand it, they look at all these outward manifestations of things and think that Yah is blessing them, and they don't realize we just saw Yah destroying his own people because they were kids committing fornication. And then we sit here and we look at all these things happening in the churches today, and everybody had Easter egg hunts on Sunday pretty much, and all these other paganism things that was done, idolatry and fornication right there in the church, and then we think Yah is showing up at the church. I beg the difference. Yah drawing a line in the sand. And there is this form of godliness, but there is no power associated with it. And so, yeah, they're able to find the egg and the egg, but then there are no people walking in the divine will of Yah abounding according to the kingdom. I happen to be in a meeting today and didn't really realize what I was a part of until it was over with. Because I came in on the end of it, it wasn't a meeting I had planned on going to. It just ended up being that way. You know, one phone call led into another, and, you know, one conversation led into another, and I ended up being at this particular meeting that I had no plan for. But what I love about Yah is when he's leading, it's not important for us to just to follow. You know, it amazes me how many people want to be used by Yah, but yet, you know, very few people are willing to just allow them to lead them. Whichever way that leading may be, he may lead you different than he leads me, but I'm just saying, people amaze me how they always want Yah, you know, to deal with them, but they just don't allow them to lead them. I don't plan my day, you know. I'm just saying from my perspective. Now you don't take that and apply that to your life. I'm just being transparent with you. I don't plan my day from this perspective. I don't plan my day to the point where Yah can't change it. That's what I mean. I do plan my day at times, but Yah is always able to change my plan. Okay, whenever He sees fit, He's able to change my plan. So this particular time, He had changed my plan. I had no plans of attending the meeting whatsoever. And so I'm at this meeting, and come to find out, it's like a Bible study. And so I'm sitting here listening. Everyone, make sure your phone's on mute. And so I'm sitting here, and I'm listening to this Bible study, and And so there were two things that was mentioned. I mean, like I said, I got in on the end of it, so I didn't hear much. I didn't hear anything as far as the lesson was concerned. But when I got what I got in on the end of, I found it very interesting, because here's what was said, which was true. What the individual said was, she said, one thing that's vitally important is that people have got to learn how to study the scriptures. She said Bible, scriptures, you know, I'm talking scriptures now. She said people really have to study. And then she said this, she said, and people also have to walk in what they have learned. I was like, okay, that was a two good point. You do have to study, you do have to walk in what you learned. Then she turned around and said this. Now, y'all know how my mind works. I'm always sitting. I'm a listener, and I take in a lot of information, and I just see angles and things like that, and falling in front of me to run their mouth. They got to watch what they say, especially when they deal with the scriptures, because I know it. I know the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Ain't nowhere a person can go that I don't know. It's just, I've been doing this a while. So when the statement was made, I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden, this statement was made. You know, when you walk in the favor of God, okay, here we go. Religion just start talking now. Okay, when you walk in the favor of God, and so I'm sitting there looking. And so, you know, these people starting to get up. I'm seeing folks with waffles. I'm seeing folks with all these different things. And so my mind is kind of, you know, messing with me and stuff. And I'm sort of like, okay, everybody talking about this favor of God. What kind of favor are they talking about? So I'm curious now. Okay, y'all, what kind of favor of God? I'm hearing all of y'all talking about favor. And y'all high-fiving. So, okay, what y'all mean by this favor stuff? Okay, and since we on favor now, okay, you know, they also start to go in and talk about health issues. All these folks that's talking about this favor. So they start talking about health issues and different things like this. And so I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Now y'all said, I was listening to y'all. Y'all said that it's important to study. Okay, y'all got me on that. I was like, cool, I agree with you on that. Then you also said that you have to walk in what you study. You have to walk in this thing. People are not walking in it. I said, okay, y'all, well, I'm having an issue right now because you say that you're studying. You say that you're walking in this here. But then you just turn around and told me the menu that you're having for the next service. And the menu that you're having for the next service should not be had if you really study. And if you really walking in with your study. They all got real quiet. I said, so let me just change this menu up. I said, the next time y'all have this meeting, then just bring all vegetables up in here. Because remember, y'all said you have to study, and then you have to walk in what you study, and then you mentioned you have health issues. So let's just do this thing all the way back. So if you have a health issue, it must be because you're not walking in with your study. So let's deal with it. You have a health issue, so it must not be that you're walking in what you claim you're studying. Or maybe you're not studying. Because if you have a favor that you said, my favor, or the favor that I walk in is from a kingdom perspective, not because I got a nice car sitting in the parking lot. So what favor are you talking about, and what studying are you talking about, and what walking in are you talking about, and what's this deal about this, you know, again, this favor? I'm trying to understand the way y'all understand, because my understanding is different from y'all's perspective of understanding, because I study and walk in what I study. Quiet as a mouse. And the guy that was with me, he said, man, you just sit here and taught a whole lesson in about 2 minutes just from a perspective of using words that they say that they do. They study, they walk in what they study, and they got the favor of God on their life. How can you when you don't obey the commandments? Now, you get the church that says, well, the commandments have been done away with. Well, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, when you study, furthermore, then we beseech you, brothers, and exhort you by Jehovah, Yehoshua, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please Yah, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by Jehovah, Yehoshua. So what kind of studying you doing, class? To come to your conclusion, class, but you're not getting the result, class, that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is talking about. If I walk in the commandments of the Most High Yah, then I should abound according to how I walk. Other than that, dumb is wrong. Now, we know the scripture is true. Let God's word be truth and every man a liar. So these are the kind of things that's going on. And so when you see all these things that's happening from a carnal perspective, and you see all these Easter celebrations, and when you notice they're really worshiping Aster or Baal, when it really comes down to it, it's the same old Isle of God that we're reading about right here in one form or another. So you have all this worshiping going on, but as you see in the scripture, Yah is punishing people, but at the same time, you have a church today that they can do the same stuff in a bound. Something wrong with these bitches. Verse 3, you had anything? Verse 3 says, for this is the will of Yah, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication. For what fornication? Idolatry. Idolatry, and then also things from the perspective of sins that was associated with sexual. How do we know this? In verse 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess this vessel in sanctification and honor. So he was saying that there is dishonoring that vessel from the perspective of fornication and sexual sin. Then he said they're dishonoring that vessel because they're going out and they're committing idolatry. They're picking up eggs. They're doing all this thing. I'm just specific on Easter because we just left it. They're doing all these different things, and they call themselves holy, but they have not sanctified themselves because they haven't abstained from fornication. They haven't abstained from adultery. Every church in America, pretty much, was fornicating something. I don't care if it's the biggest church in the world or the little smallest one that ain't got enough can't afford number 2 eggs to put out there for the little baby. All that fornication was going on all day long. Everybody was in their paganism suits, Easter suits and all that. Everybody was dressed for the paganism God and worshiping Baal on that day, but then they call on the name of Jesus saying we prospered because he rolled up Sunday morning. Man, please. It's about fornication. That's what's going on, son. But the scripture tells us now, it says in verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Y'all said, the only way you're going to be to the side, and you, let's look at the word sanctification now, verse 3. Verse 3 says, sanctification. It means purification, to purify, the state of purifying, holiness. So when you hear, you know, I was raised up in what was called holiness church, and that's what they were saying. They were saying, you know, your holiness is the only way, and I used to be like, well shoot. They used to be like, holiness is the only way, and I used to be like, man, well, it's something about real messed up about this here, because I sit up here and I see a whole lot of stuff that ain't what you call Bible or scriptural holiness. But, you know, everybody have their own cliches that they use, you know, for churches. But in verse 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in holiness and honor. Sanctification, holiness and honor. That not in the lust of competence, even as the Gentiles which knew not Yah. that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that Jehovah is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Now, when you look at this from a perspective of verse 5, and it says covetousness, in a nutshell, it means lust. Okay? It means longings or desires. So when you look at these desires, he was saying, okay, all these things that you see are the desires that the Gentiles have who know not God. So what was seen on what the church classified as Easter Sunday was things that the church has taken on, and they operate in those things that the Gentiles who know not God operated in. But it amazes me how the so-called body would do these things and then turn around and try to tell you how to walk. Well, Pastor Gordon, you say a cuss word every now and then. At least I ain't out of words. I'm just talking Americanism flame, and I'm not going around here worshiping Baal. But it may.
They took prayer out of all the schools, and they abandoned all the religion out of the schools. But I ask Tanya, I say, well, if they ain't done all that, why the kids get off on Good Friday?
Get off on Good Friday, and they got Easter bunnies all up in their school, too.
I'm just saying, they take prayer out, they took prayer out of school, religion out of school, so the kids get off on Good Friday. I'm trying to figure out what sense that makes.
Because all these different things have associations with Baal. Baal Peor, what we're reading about, it has association with idolatry. So they're not letting them out on Good Friday because of Christ. See, because we understand through the scriptures have taught us that Christ was matter of fact, elders did a chart. There's a chart that showed us that the word happened Wednesday. So Good Friday ain't got nothing to do with us. It ain't got nothing to do with Christ. Because Christ, if you even say he died on Friday, and say he raised early Sunday morning, that don't coincide with the scripture saying, as John was in the well of the Bennett 3 days and three nights, so would Christ be in the heart of the earth, so to speak. So Friday, Good Friday ain't up. I'm on Good Friday. It has to do with some paganism. That's probably why they let him out, to worship that Baal that we're talking about right now. So some form of idolatry, because Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning don't have to be 3 days, three nights. So they ain't talking about Christ. So the whole day and the whole event itself has nothing to do with Christ. It's something else. And so when people get up and they dress for it, they go to it, they do the Easter egg hunt, they do all these different things that's associated with it. What they are doing is idol worshiping. They are sitting down, they are preparing the meals, they are serving the meals. It is adultery. That is food off of the idols. I ain't going to nobody house eating on no Easter day, because that's food off of the idols. People don't look at it that way, do they? But then they disobey the scripture. So if you say, Pastor, come over here and get your Easter Sunday plate. I ain't gonna do that. I've been off the hour. I ain't doing it. The paganism that. You're supplying that for that. That's been off the hour. The scripture tells me not to abstain from anything off the hour. You just celebrated that with Baal, and now you want me to sit down there and consume it. No, I don't want none of that. We don't think about it that way. And there are some things that's going on that's like you're at the club, dude. People have not realized that that there is how can I put this? There has been such a lack of words for generations that people are not aware that there is no word in the land. People have been listening to tradition and idolatry messages and all these different things for so long that they don't have the knowledge that there is no word in the land. They don't have the knowledge that there's no truth in the land. So when somebody like myself, like elder, like other men that I've come across that teach, really teach the truth, they're calling us crazy. People call me crazy all the time. I'm just a foolish thing. Just a foolish thing. You know, sitting there profound wise, that's all. I'm just a foolish thing. So when I expose these things, they think I'm crazy. Just like I wrote today and I posted it on my page that you know I don't watch television. I very seldom watch television, and so I just happened to be surfing this morning and I run across this commercial that basically said in a nutshell, just saying it. Basically, you know, I'm not quoting word for word, but basically, in a nutshell, that if you didn't have a will, that the government could pretty much take over your estate. And then it went on to say, so when you make out your will, leave something that, you know, make a contribution or basically put TV in the will, Trinity Broadcasting Network. And I'm simply like, oh, so you give out this information because you come up with another sophisticated way to steal money from the people to the point to where you're not really concerned about the will for the benefit of the people, but you're concerned about the will for the benefit of TVN. So you want to give them this information, then say, well, since we gave it to you, just write our name on in there so we can have some of it. Boy, I'm tired of this demonic stuff. I don't care if it got Jesus in front of it. Jesus, demonic, Christ, bullhorn. And it's just crazy, man, the things that they do, man. And I'm just so sick of it. But all of it based upon this idolatry that you're seeing that's really out operating at its fullest in these days, and people will look at that and make every excuse in the world and say, well, ain't nothing wrong with it. I want to sow a seed in the TVN too. These people are trying to get folks to put them in their will. I mean, who would want to even, who thought of that? I got an idea. Let's do a commercial and figure out how to get people to put us in their will. Not thinking about booking them and the grandkids and all them. No, put us in the wheel so that we can keep spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, please. Okay, I'm through now. I got the fucking opinion. Any questions or come in? I'm going to stop on time. So when you see that at first, but I always understand, I just wanted to show you that as we look at these different things that we'll know and always refer back to things we've discussed, or if we haven't discussed those things yet, don't just overlook, just look for answers according to the scripture. Man, what commandments did they give? Oh, that's right, they did give the commandments in Acts chapter 15. And the commandments they gave in Acts chapter 15 was to not commit adultery, not to commit idolatry. And yet, fornication, I thought, and yet you have the church doing it to this day. Just had it. Big event. Idolatry. I tell you the truth. God is not in these churches. A God is in them, but not the God of the scriptures. He's not attaching himself to these idolatry these idolatry things. You go look at the scripture. Every time you hear, he said, I don't know the God beside me. None. I'm God all by myself. And any time you put one beside me, I'm going to take that God now. I'm going to disconnect from you. Coming back for a church without the Father's living. He ain't rapturing this stuff. That's why we know there's no such thing as a rapture going to take place, because who will he be coming back to get? A bunch of idolatrous worshipers of Easter, Christmas, and so on and so forth? Man, please. Okay, I'm finished. Any questions or comments? You good? All right. I'm too fussy now. Father, y'all, we bless your name on today. We just thank you for giving us the wisdom enough to see, perceive, and to know the truth. And the truth that we know, we will put it in action and walk in it to the best of our ability. We need your guidance. We need your leading guidance in all truth. Just continue to unseal the scriptures for us, for our understanding, for our learning and understanding. And we bless you for that in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen.